Hello, my precious friend. This is Pastor Verna Brown, and I am so excited that you have chosen to join us by podcast today. I pray that this message is inspiring, it's encouraging, and that it propels you further into the destiny that God has for you. Sit back and enjoy.
Don't trip. That's the name of the message this morning. Don't trip. We're going to get into this. It's going to make sense. It's actually really funny. I'm not going to give any spiritual context to this because it's just funny. But we were, Sean and I, we got out of town for the day on Tuesday. I went to Cache to Half Moon Bay. It's one of our favorite places. And so there's this little beach that we love to go to. And we try to get there when it's low tide because when the tide's out, you can go collect seashells. And it's one of our favorite places. So we get there and it's, of course, kind of 2 hours before high tide's going to come in. And on the drive there, I was thinking, I was needing to send over my title for today to the media team. And I'm thinking about what I'm going to be preaching on. And I'd had this title in my mind, Don't Trip, Don't Trip. So I send it over to Anastasia and Jasmine. And we get to the beach. Sean's looking at me right now. We get to the beach like 30 minutes later. And it's freezing. We tried to have this like really great moment. Even Cash was like, Mommy, I want to go back to the car. It was super windy and cold. So we were able to get a couple of seashells, and this particular beach that we go to, it has these stairs. It's kind of hidden. You wouldn't know it's there unless you know about it. And so, but going down these stairs, there's this one gap in the stairs where the stairs are like, they're closer together, and there's like this big gap, right? So I'm carrying Cash. We're going back, and I had this spot in my back, which this could be turned into a message if I really wanted to take it there today. But I had this spot in my back where, I don't know if this has ever happened to any of you, where you, like, if you move a certain way, it's almost like your whole body goes limp. Has that happened before where it's just a knot in your back and it's just, it presses on something. So I'm holding her and I get to this big step and I'm like thinking, I don't think this is a good idea. And I look at Sean and I go, and he's carrying the bucket of seashells and I go, we should switch. I don't know why that came out of my mouth instead of here, take your child, right? I'm like, we should switch. And I go to step up on this stair, and it was like, nope, that spot in my back went, and I just collapsed on the stairs, totally fell, definitely tripped, and scraped up my knee, bruised it. Cash is crying, and I'm just like, I probably should be careful with what I title my messages. And all I could think of is I literally just sent my title for a Sunday called Don't Trip. And I just completely tripped and ate total crap. And, so you should be careful about carrying too much weight. You could turn it into a message, but I'm not going to. I just thought it was really funny. I'm going to pray, and we're going to jump in this morning. Lord, I thank you. Thank you for your anointing. I thank you for your presence. Lord, I thank you for this word. I just ask that you would illuminate the word to us this morning, that your word in us would come to life in a new way. You'd give us fresh revelation this morning. We thank you. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for what you're doing in this hour and in this season. Thank you for this authentic move of your spirit that's taking place that can't be manufactured. Lord, and we just want to stay in continual surrender to you and let you do whatever you want to do as we sing about this morning. And we just thank you. In Jesus' name. All right. It's so funny that Sarah chose the set she chose, and she didn't know what I was preaching on. And I love when God does this because it's, again, it wasn't the Chinese food, right? We do hear God. And I actually, in my notes, I had put to open with this morning that Jesus came to shake up the ground of our tradition and break down the walls of our religion. And so it's funny. I'm like, okay, God, you are on this word this morning. And that's really what he's doing in this time. He wants our authentic surrender, as Sean preached about 2 weeks ago. And this is what the Lord is doing, is he's drawing us into a place of authentic surrender, because really that's the entirety of the gospel. Jesus just wants us. He wants all of us. He wants us as, he said, you know, Sean said, to come with all our jacked upness, all the jacked upness, and surrender. And I believe that there is a shaking that's happening right now, because people more than ever need to encounter a real God who is not just this religious deity, right, but really is involved and cares and understands and sees and knows. And it's a time where the Lord's calling us into a deeper understanding of him. And shallow religion just isn't going to cut it anymore. But it's authentic relationship, and that's what he's calling us into. You know, Jesus didn't come to fit into our pretty church boxes or what we think he should be, and he never will. We saw that on Palm Sunday when Sean and I were preaching. That's what they wanted. They wanted a king that was going to come and do the things the way that they wanted done. And Jesus was like, nah, dog, I don't work like that, right? And it's funny to me when I read certain perspectives or ways that people see Jesus. And he can kind of be depicted as this almost groovy hippie dude that just walked around in sandals and was just praying for people and doing miracles, right? And just like all love and just loving people. And he was that. He was the epitome of love. Jesus did those things and he is love. But if we really think about it, love itself walked among us and man rejected it. When love himself walked among us, man rejected him. And we build all these theologies, right, on our how we think Jesus is. And I believe God's calling us into a time where he's wanting to really reveal who Jesus is to us. He was the very embodiment of truth and goodness and beauty and was treated as a treasonous imposter and an enemy of the state. If Jesus was here today in the flesh, I actually believe most of the church wouldn't know what to do with him. I don't think they would. Because if you read the Gospels, and we're going to get into some of this morning, but he's kind of like that friend that you invite to the party and you're like, oh God, I don't know what he's going to say. You know, you never know what's going to come out of his mouth. And I can just imagine the disciples being like, Peter, like John being like, Peter, he's going into the brood of vipers today. Like, you know, like you have that one friend that just says stuff and doesn't really, you like in our eyes, they don't really think about it, but really they just say it and they don't really care what anyone thinks, you know? But if Jesus was here, I don't think that many of us would know what to do with him. And they didn't know what to do with him. In the Gospels, and we can romanticize the Bible to the point, it's like, you know, this beautiful story, and it's Jesus, and he's doing all these things. It's like, if we look at it, this was the biggest scandal of the time. And we're going to jump into that word a little bit more this morning, but there were instances where we see Jesus speaking to religious leaders, and it would say, and many were offended with him. He'd speak with them and they'd walk away offended. And even Jesus said, blessed is he who isn't offended with me. Why? Because he knew that many were offended with him. But he didn't say offensive things. His purpose was not to offend. His purpose was to reveal truth because Jesus is the truth. And what I love is that he always adjusted. If you go and you read, because there's people that will be like, oh, well, they'll say things, right? And they'll hide behind. We have these Facebook preachers that just say things. And they think, well, I'm just revealing truth, and they're super blunt. And it's like, no, like Jesus didn't do things like that. Like he had different approaches with different people. He always adjusted his approach according to his audience. In Matthew 13, you see he leaves the crowds confused and wondering what his kingdom parables mean. And then he pulls away his disciples, and he explains it. And he refuses to condemn the woman in adultery. But then he issues woes to the scribes and the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. He did things and said things that we wouldn't have found proper or even comfortable. He didn't condemn the ones that should have been condemned in our eyes, in man's eyes, and to the ones that maybe we should have kissed their butts or sucked up to, right? He was brutally honest, calling the Pharisees a brood of vipers. But he would always do it in a conversation. If you go and you look, he'd always do it in a conversation with the Pharisees. He didn't just get up and say things and be like, well, I'm sorry if I offend you. I'm Jesus. But he did leave people wondering. He wanted them to go deeper. He wanted them to seek deeper. But like I said, he didn't say and do things that made any one person really feel comfortable. And they couldn't make sense of him. You could say that Jesus was a trip. He was a trip. And his life was actually intended to make people trip. And we're going to unpack this morning. In 1 Corinthians 1:21 through 24, I don't know if, team, if you put this one, this one I just sent you yesterday. But it says this. Paul says this, "For since in the wisdom of God, the world, through its wisdom, did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand miraculous signs, and Greeks look for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God." If we look at that in the Amplified, it says, "We," and I don't have this for you on the screen, so just listen. It says, "We preach Christ, the Messiah, crucified, preaching which to the Jews is a scandal and an offensive stumbling block." So the message of Christ crucified to the Jews is a scandal and an offensive stumbling block that springs a snare or a trap. And to the Gentiles, it is absurd and utterly unphilosophical nonsense. Jesus was a trip. What is Paul talking about here? So what he's saying is that you have these two groups of people, right? The Jews and the Gentiles. And for the Jews, they wanted a God, right, that was going to come and basically approve all of their striving and working their way into heaven and upholding the law and being good Jews. But Jesus didn't come with that message. And to the Greeks, they wanted a God that basically made their minds feel big, that was philosophical and made sense, that they could make sense of. And here's Jesus, who doesn't make any sense. And the cross, which doesn't make any sense. That Greek word for stumbling block in this passage comes from the word scandalon, which means to put a stumbling block or an impediment in the way upon which another may trip and fall, to be a stumbling block. Used metaphorically in the New Testament to cause or make one to stumble, not physically but spiritually, it's often translated offense or the verb form to offend. Now, it's so hard for me when I have to preach one sermon and I have to stay in one lane because then I want to go down all these rabbit holes because I could literally preach an entirely different message on this about offense and the trap of offense. And there's, like I said, there's a whole nother message in that. We're not going to go there this morning, but I want you to be aware of that. Why do we get offended? Because we hear something we don't like or we see something we don't like. It doesn't make sense to us, and so we get offended. And that offense puts us in a trap. Now, you're like, why then is the Bible saying Jesus is an offense, is a stumbling block? There's so much tension in this, right? Romans 9:33, I'm going to give you a couple more scriptures and then we're going to jump in even more into this. Romans 9:33, another reference to this says, "As it is written, behold, I'm laying in Zion a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense." This is talking to Jesus. "And whoever believes in him will not be put to shame." Isaiah 28:16 says, "Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am the one who has laid as a foundation in Zion a stone, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone of a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not be in haste." I'm going to give you one more scripture. We'll dive deeper. Isaiah 8:14 says, "And he will become a sanctuary and a stone of offense and a rock of stumbling to both houses of Israel, a trap and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem." We're going to dive in deeper, but I want you to see this morning that Jesus, it's interesting, that word scandalon is where we get the word scandal, the modern word scandal, which again, you can go into a whole nother message about scandals, causing offense, getting in a trap, all that, right? But where I want to go with this today is that You can say that Jesus was born a scandal for the scandalous. I know I'm kind of jacking up with your brains this morning. Pastor Simone, that's blasphemous. He's Jesus. He's the Holy One of Israel. Yes, but by definition, he was meant to be a scandal. His birth was a scandal. If we go back in time, and we go, okay, put yourself, we're in Jesus's day, right? Jesus would have been on the front page of TMZ probably every single day, okay? The Jews, the times of the house of Israel, okay? Oh, there's Jesus sitting with the sinners again. Did you hear that Mary got pregnant and they're saying that it's from God? No, I'm pretty sure that Mary was seeing John down the way and got knocked up. From birth, Jesus was a scandal. His birth was a scandal. His genealogy was scandalous. If you've ever looked at the people who Jesus came through, Rahab, a prostitute, a whore, David takes Bathsheba and kills her husband, like murderers, prostitutes. We go back, you think your genealogy is bad, and then there's Tamar. If you've never read the story of Tamar or Tamar, however you want to say her name, oh, let me tell you. Okay, I read that one yesterday. But I read a commentary that put it in modern day, and I was like, oh, no, she didn't, right? Mary, her first husband, right, Judah's son, first husband was wicked. God kills him. Second husband won't give her a child, okay, goes to get with her, and then is like, nah, dog, we're gonna pull out of this and not give you a kid. Literally, this is the modern day commentary that I read, and I was like, oh, I like this one. And, it's like, nah, God kills him, wicked. So then Judah sends her away, is planning to, you know, says, oh, yeah, you can marry my next son. But now she's waiting, and she's waiting, and she's waiting. And listen, you make a woman wait too long. It ain't going to be good. So she's waiting and waiting. What does she eventually do? She knows Judah likes to pick up ladies from a corner that he should not be picking up ladies on. And so she dresses herself up like one, goes out, seduces her father-in-law, gets pregnant, steals his seal, which is a modern-day wallet. He finds out that she's not who she said she was. Then plans to have her burned, and she's like, nah, I kept receipts. I got your seal. And so he now realizes that it's his kid, and he can't kill her. Yeah. That's like Jesus' great-great-great-grandma. Yeah. And not only that, in Matthew, you think like, you know, you just have those family members in your past. You're like, we're not going to talk about them, you know? But then Matthew brings it up. Jesus from the lineage of this, and then mentions Tamar. Like, let's just remind them all, okay? Yeah. Scandalous. The Gospels should be called the scandalous account of Jesus Christ, right? Jesus himself wasn't scandalous, but everything, right? You look at his genealogy. You look at his birth. The spotless lamb came through a checkered lineage. Oh, man, I don't know about you, but that right there, that's the scandal of grace. That the spotless lamb could come through murderers and prostitutes and harlots. What good news. We call it the good news of the gospel, right? God's grace is shocking. It's offensive. It's completely unmerited and undeserved. I think God just said, yeah, I'm going to take the worst of the worst, and then I'm going to let my son come through that. Just to show anyone who might dismiss themselves as anybody that God can use to say, listen, it doesn't matter how jacked up your grandma, mama was, all right? Or maybe you were last week. I can still work with that. That's the scandal of grace. It's outrageous. It's preposterous. It's excessive. It's unlimited. You know that they literally, there's a passage in Mark where the people that Jesus grew up with, they're like, isn't this the carpenter? Because, you know, Jesus lived every day of his life. He lived every day slandered, misunderstood, hated. Every day. And continued, right, to do the Father's business. But he was mocked, and they would say, is this the carpenter, Mary's son, the brother of James, Joseph, and Simon. Basically, this isn't God. This is Mary's son. But that word actually translates, Mary's son, translates to mamza, which is in the English as bastard. So basically, they'd walk around going, you're just a bastard. You're a bastard child. Just constantly reminding him, mocking him. He was widely considered the bastard child of Mary, not a savior, not a redeemer. And like I said, his genealogy was not a group of the righteous, but imperfect people who made imperfect decisions. But their imperfections are what made them heroes of an incredible reputation. God came to shake up the ground of tradition, to break down the walls of religion. He came to be a stumbling block. It's interesting in that passage in Isaiah, it says that he is both a sanctuary and a stone of offense. We see this in the life of Jesus, a safe place, right? And yet, this rock of offense. Jesus is either the stone that we stumble over, or he's the rock that we build our life on. To those that fall onto him, he's a sanctuary. To those who trip over him because of pride or human wisdom, he's a rock of offense. See, he came to be a stumbling stone because they thought their way was better. So God laid him as a stumbling stone, a rock of offense, to trip up their way. Because their way was not better. He came as a stumbling block, and all those who judge him according to outward appearances stumbled. There's a saying that he offends our minds, and this is what I believe when we look at the life of Jesus, when we look at him. He came to offend minds so he can get to the heart. He was a scandal, a stumbling stone to the Greeks and the Jews. The Jews hated him because he didn't allow them to be in charge. See, this kind of grace doesn't allow them to do rituals and forum and to be the chosen people based on their bloodline. So they're completely offended by this thought of a savior who sits with these kinds of people and says that that's the picture of God, the expressed image of God. And the Jews, like I said, they're totally offended. The Greeks are offended because for them, they had to have it all figured out. And if they couldn't understand and it couldn't make sense to them, they were mad. So both the Jews and the Greeks end up losing out. You have the religious people who think they have all the answers, right? And then you have the ones who it doesn't make sense, so they're just going to reject it. They have to have it on their own terms, and they missed out. To the Jews, he was a scandal because grace wasn't based on their merit. And to the Gentiles, he was a scandal because he couldn't fit in their box and be explained. Like this one, eat my flesh and drink my blood. Can you imagine being there that day? Never explains himself, never defends himself. Isn't like, well, I didn't really mean like chop my head off and then like drink it up, you know, or just eat my flesh, drink my blood. Wasn't like come back and I'll tell you what I really meant. No. And even though everyone thought he was completely whack, he didn't defend himself. Think of how hard that would have been. You have somebody telling you can't have eternal life unless you drink my flesh or drink my blood and eat my flesh. Jesus was willing to offend them in ways that were incomprehensible. And here's where we get tripped up. In the fall of Adam and Eve, the Bible says that they made themselves to be gods, knowing good and evil. See, we weren't meant to know everything. And I believe what happened in the fall was that our eyes were opened, right? To things that they were never supposed to be open to. And now we have this ability to judge based on our own vision. And because of that, we look and we say, oh, well, it's not fair unless this, or if I don't understand it, then it can't be true. If I think it contradicts this, or in my mind, I think the scriptures are supposed to be, you know, to mean that, then I reject it because I'm God. And that's what the fall did to us. It gave us this God complex. We're made in the image of God, right? But we were never supposed to see like that. He didn't want that for us. And that's why he had to come in such a foolish way, in a way that offended their mind, because they had to get past this so he could get to this. And that's why he says, unless you're like a little child, unless you come to me and you love me, whether you understand it or not, it's not really Christianity. And we trip up in our faith. We get tripped because we go, man, this is weird. It doesn't make sense. I'm going to surrender all. I'm going to lay down my life. I'm going to let this God have authority in my life. Like, it doesn't make sense to this, and it never will. And God knew that. And he said, I'm going to place him as a stumbling stone to this. Because this has to be tripped up in order for you to go on a better way. See, we'll never enjoy life with him as long as we have to be God in our little brains. And we have to have everything figured out and have all the answers, and everything has to be fair and true and reasonable and provable. And that's why Jesus says that the road is narrow and few shall find it. Because it requires us to kill our pride and look stupid in order to follow Jesus. See, truth, and this is why Jesus didn't come to offend, but he offended because he was truth. And whenever truth is presented, we're offended. So we got to pay attention to why are we offended. Maybe you leave church and you're like, well, I'm just offended. Well, why were you offended? Maybe Jesus is pressing on something right there, right? Like, See, whenever truth would present himself, people would get offended. Why? Because he would prick that area that he was trying to get them to recognize was going to lead them down a way that he didn't want them to go down. And he does that with us today. And we get into our God complex, and we reject him. And we trip. And we trip out here. And we isolate. And we leave church because pastor didn't say things exactly how we wanted, or maybe somebody else didn't say things exactly how we wanted, and we get into that trap of offense. I believe Jesus makes us stumble so he can trap the things that trap us. Because it says that he was to be a snare and a trap to the Jews. I believe he wanted to trap all that religion. He wanted to trap all that pride. He wanted to trap all the junk that was leading them down a way that was not his way. We're either going to fall into the trap of love, right, or the trap of the enemy. Philippians 2:5, and I'm getting close to landing, says this. Have this mind among yourselves. And I don't know if I gave this one to you girls. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, this is the key, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. This is the mind that must be in us. He says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, created in God's image. But let this mind be in you. Because there's no other way into the kingdom of God than to make yourself nothing. If you really think about that, your way is better. You know, the battle of surrender has to do with the issue of trust. Will we let go of all of our rights? Will we allow God to trip us up, right? to where we let go of our rights, our opinions, our judgments, all the junk. Will we let go of the thing that's warring inside of us that wants to be God because we were actually created in his image? Will we instead have this mind of Christ and let go of all of those opinions and preferences and let God choose our path? Order our circumstances, put things and people into our life as he's designed them. Will we let him do that without us having to be the ruler and the judge of everybody else's things and opinions and circumstances? There's a scripture, a portion of scripture, and I'm going to end here. So, if Sarah, you want to come on up. What do I want you to know today? I wanted you to know that where we war the most in faith is over the truth that has caused us to trip. And the quicker we get at recognizing, okay, God, I see what you want me to lay down, the faster we stop tripping. And that Jesus came because he wants us to be in that trap of love. He wants us to know him in that way. I want you to know this morning that no matter how scandalous your past has been or your family has been, that Jesus was acquainted with scandal. Joseph, Mary's husband, the father of Jesus, for him, faith required revelation. See, he could have, by outward appearances, he could have judged and said, you know what, I'm justified to divorce Mary. Could have. Mary comes, I'm pregnant with the Messiah, and he's like, no, right? I don't think so. He would have been justified, according to this, right? To divorce Mary, to leave. Judged by outward appearances. But judged by God's revelation, Joseph made the faithful choice to take Mary as his wife and adopt Jesus as his son. And for Joseph, faith required revelation. We also need God's word to tell us who Jesus is. See, I believe the ones who were able to say yes to Jesus and follow him and leave everything were able to do that because they came to a revelation of who he was. This yes was saying, this is weird. This don't make sense. But this was saying, I feel the voice of God. I feel heaven. I sense. Sean and I often say, you sense before you see. And they were able to come to that revelation. And a lot of times we're warring with things that we're tripping over because we haven't come to a place of revelation. And when we judge according to this, like the Jews and the Gentiles, we reject Jesus. We reject love. We reject the goodness of the things that he wants for us and in us. Because we got to get out of this and into this. And I believe that faith is activated by revelation. The revelation of, I can't do this in my own merit. I nothing about me is going to be ever good enough for God to love me. See, religion will feed this, will make this feel big, but it'll keep us trapped. And this is what I believe God's doing in this season, is he's saying, I want your authentic surrender, and in order for me to have that, I have to trip up your mind. I have to cause you to stumble upon me. Because His way is better. I want you to stand your feet this morning. I know this was a deeper message today. But we can spend so much time trying to do church and not understanding why we're tripping every time we leave. Because we need the revelation of who Jesus is. We need to let His truth have root in our lives. We need to allow Him to offend our minds so He can have our hearts. And the faster we get at laying the offenses that we have against Jesus down and embracing Him for who He really is, the richer life is going to be with Him. And so this morning, I'm just going to pray. I'm going to pray over you. Maybe you're listening or you're watching and you've never fallen upon the rock. See, we either, like I said, we trip over Him or we build our life on Him. He's either the cornerstone or we're crushed by the rock. He wants us to build upon Him. He's a sure foundation. The Bible says He was the cornerstone that the builders rejected. There's no other foundation but Jesus to build on. And so this morning, if you've never made Jesus your Lord and Savior, it's not about a prayer or a religious duty. It's just about embracing Him. It's about receiving the revelation that He is Lord. So this morning, if you haven't done that, I just want you to just ask Him to come into your heart and make Him Lord of your life. Because it begins there. It's a relationship with Him. And I want to pray this morning over you. Lord, I thank You that this is a season, Lord, where You are challenging us in ways that we've never been challenged before. Maybe for some of us, we've been in church for 20, 30 years. And there's old systems and behaviors and things in us, God, that have to die. That You're bringing truth and revelation to. And maybe for some of us, we don't like it. Because it means that we have to lay down our way. We have to lay down our right. We have to lay down our right to be right. But we realize, Jesus, that it's not until we do that that we can fully embrace who You are. God, I thank You that You offend our minds to get to our hearts because Your way is better. I thank You that You cause us, Lord, to check ourselves before we wreck ourselves on the paths that we think are better. And Lord, we don't want to continue to trip over Your truth. But we thank You that You do cause us to stumble and recognize when we're going away that we're not supposed to go. And You redirect us like the good Father that You are. This morning, Lord, all over the room, God, we just, I don't know what it is that You need to lay down, but I just want us to just surrender to Him today. Those beliefs, maybe some of those pride things in us that reject Him at times. This morning, Lord, we just lay those down before You. Give us a new revelation in this season of who You are, Jesus. I thank You that You don't fit in a box, that You can't be controlled, that You can't be controlled by man. You're God. And ultimately, You call us to bring our ideas and our opinions and our ways to You so we can embrace the better way. Light up our life, Jesus. Light it up. Light it up with truth. Light it up with the revelation of who You are. We give You permission in this season, Lord, to break down any wall of religion and shake up the grounds of our traditions, Lord, so we can really, fully, truly know who You really are. We thank You for Your presence this morning. We thank You. for challenging us, for not being somebody that just lets us do whatever we want to do at the expense of everything. Because you're a good father. You're a good father. We embrace you, Jesus, as the scandal that you were and as the scandal that you currently are to most of the world. You don't make sense, and we don't have to understand everything to surrender to you. We thank you this morning, Jesus. Thank you for your presence. We thank you. The prayer team is going to be here if you need prayer this morning. You know, there's no real proper way to end this message, but just let his truth reveal and challenge you this week, and just surrender to him. Because his way is better. We thank you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode. It is because of you that this ministry is made possible. We also want to give a special thanks to those who give so generously to this ministry. If you are interested in partnering with us, click the link below in the description to give now or visit our website at soulharvestwc.org. Make sure to follow us by tapping the plus sign in the top right corner of your screen. If today's message spoke to you, please share this episode with your friends and family by clicking the share button. And don't forget to tag us on your social media at soulharvestwc. Thanks again for listening, and God bless.